We've moved into the fifth chapter of the book of Proverbs, and this proverb really, the entire chapter, stays on one subject pretty much throughout, and it's about the warning about the strange woman. And we read a little bit about the strange woman back in chapter 2, and verse 16 tells us that the ways of wisdom will deliver us from the strange woman, even the stranger who flatters with her words and forsakes the guide of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Her house inclines to death, and her paths to the dead. None that go to her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. And so we know that this is a theme that is being repeated in chapter 5, but now we're going to really take an entire chapter and deal with really the issue of fidelity in marriage and sexual purity and purity of heart, purity of the eyes, purity of the mind, where it comes to the relationship between men and women. Chapter 5, verse 1. It opens the same way as chapter 2 and chapter 3. It's an admonition, my son, attend to my wisdom and bow your ear to my understanding. And it's an interesting, we haven't seen this phrase before where it says to bow your ear. In chapter 4, it told us to incline the ear, which literally meant to perk up. Incline your ear is to perk up. But here, to bow the ear, the literal word in Hebrew is to bow. And to bow is a gesture of humility, to lower oneself. And so it's going to take some humility to listen to this message. This is a real kick in the pride. And so that's what this is setting us up for. And verse 2, it says, that you may regard discretion, and that your lips may keep knowledge. Again, the importance of the words that we speak. And then he warns about the lips of a strange woman. They drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. This agrees with what we read in chapter 2, where it says that the strange woman flatters with her words in verse 16. Let me tell you something. Praise belongs to God. God is worthy of all praise. And if God is worthy of all praise, how much praise does that leave for us? None. And so when a person is giving you inordinate praise about your appearance, about your life, they're telling you you look younger than you are, you're handsome, strong, and tall, and dark, and all of these things that they want to say about you, understand that this is called flattery. Don't take it to heart. Somebody one time said, don't believe all your own news clippings. It's so important that we realize that flattery is meant to destroy. That's the purpose of flattery. It butters you up for something. You know, it's kind of like when you go to your parent as a teenager and you say, oh, Mom, you're so beautiful and wonderful, and she gets wise to you and says, all right, what do you want? We need to realize that that's what flattery is. Verse 3 again. The lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil. She's a smooth operator. But in verse 4, but her end is bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. And lest you should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that you cannot know them. There's an unpredictability, you know. The path of life, on the other hand, is predictable. You know, it may seem that the worldly lifestyle has its excitement to it. You know, that's what the prodigal son saw. He wanted his inheritance so that he could go out there and chase women and, you know, all of the things of the world. But it turned out that where he wound up was the pig pen, you know. And that's where the world will take you. The world will always take you down to the pig pen every single time. The road to destruction is a wide road. Jesus said that it was, and that many go in that way, but the end is destruction, absolutely destruction. And we can't be lovers of the world and lovers of God at the same time. All right, so let's go on. Verse 7. Hear now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Verse 7 is just telling us again the same thing that we've been hearing from the beginning of Proverbs number 1, and that is that the Word of God has to take first place and first priority in our lives. Depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and come not near the door of her house. This her is another personification. You remember that we saw that wisdom was personified in chapter 2. Chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Wisdom is personified. And then again in 4, we see the word she, the pronoun she and her, used over and over in talking about wisdom. Well, now we have another female pronoun here. Her feet go down to death in verse 5. And here in verse 8, remove your way far from her and come not near the door of her house. This is the world. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Verse 9 says, lest you give your honor unto others. Remember we discussed that wisdom would promote you? And here it's telling us that the world will do the exact opposite. It will take honor away from you. It will bring you dishonor. It will bring you disgrace and your years to the cruel. In other words, this is the opposite of longevity. Remember we said that length of days, long life, and peace were the result and the reward of wisdom. But here we're talking about losing your years. In verse 10, lest strangers be filled with your wealth and your labors be in the house of a stranger. You see the opposite here in verse 10 from what we saw in chapter 3, verse 9, where it said, when we honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruit of our increase, that our barns would be filled with plenty and our presses burst out with new wine. But when we put the world first place in our lives and we become seekers after the world and lovers of the world, then we find that our substance is gone. We come to poverty. In verse 11 it says, and you mourn at the last when your flesh and your body are consumed. Verse 11 is thousands of years before the modern advent of sexual transmitted diseases that we have today. Today, literally, a person can have their flesh and their body consumed because they get involved in the things of the world. And I'm sure that it was true then that there were diseases and things that were attached to sin, but today it's so pronounced. Verse 12, and you will say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? I've not obeyed the voice of my teachers or inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Now that 14th verse really seems to need a little clarification, so I'm going to read the last few verses out of the New Living Bible. And let's go to verse 12, 13, and 14, New Living Bible. Oh, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to those who gave me instruction? I have come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace. You know what? That is the experience of David with Bathsheba. He fell into sin, and when it came out in the open, what humiliation it brings. You know, we often think that we can sin in secret, but the Bible tells us that there's nothing hidden that shall not be brought into the light. We can't sin in the dark without it coming out in the light. And that's what it means in verse 14 when it said, I was almost done all evil in the midst of the congregation of the assembly. In other words, completely embarrassed in the midst of public shame and humiliation. Now, verse 15. This is the advice of the father. This is what he's saying. Drink water out of your own cistern, running water out of your own well, and let your fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be yours only and not a stranger's with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Now, what is he talking about? About water here. Let's read it from the New Living Bible, verses 15 through 18. And it says, drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the water of your springs in public, having sex with just anyone? You should reserve it for yourself. Don't share it with strangers. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. And so we see that they very frankly explain what was hidden in the language of the King James Version. That it's talking about being honorable to your marriage covenant. In the book of Hebrews, we see chapter 13. I'm going to turn there and read it so that I don't misquote it. This is too important for me to just depend on my memory. Hebrews chapter 13, it says, I believe it's the 15th verse. No, 15 is the sacrifice of praise verse. Verse 4 is the one I'm looking for. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, a lot of people may think that they're able to skate here scot-free. But in reality, there's a lot of complicated issues in today's modern society. You know, when it says marriage is honorable, we're really talking about legal marriage, husband and wife. We're not talking about people that are living together without the benefit of a legal marriage, a covenant before God and before witnesses, done sacred in His name. Outside of that kind of marriage, there any kind of sexual activity is what is being called in this verse is whoremongers and adulterers. And Jesus went on to say that to look with lust is to commit adultery in your heart. You see, there's no sexual expression except in a legal marriage between a man and his own wife. Watching it on television, the internet, or magazines, or books, or just lusting, having a roving eye out in public where you might see women walking by in real life. This is not for us as believers. We are to have pure hearts. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You notice that what you see is connected to the purity of your heart. Those who are pure in heart will see God. Those who have impure hearts are looking elsewhere. That's why they're not seeing Him. Their eyes are someplace else. You need to keep your eyes on the path of life. That's why it told us in chapter 4 that we are to let our eyes look right on, in verse 25, let your eyelids look straight before you, ponder the path of your feet, and let your ways be established. Turn not from the right or to the left, and remove your foot from evil. Let's go on. It's talking about your wife in verse 18, which says, let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her be as the loving hind and the pleasant roe, and let her breasts satisfy you at all times, and be ravished always with her love. Let's read that from our New Living Bible. Here it says, let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving doe, a graceful deer. Let her breast satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. I'm going to keep reading. Why be captivated, my son, with an immoral woman, or embrace the breast of an adulterous woman? For the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path that he takes. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. He will die for his lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his incredible folly. Let me read that again from our King James. The last two verses. Surely he scorns the scorns. I'm in the wrong chapter. Pardon me. Verse 22 and 23. His own iniquities will take the wicked himself. He shall be held with the cords of his sin. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly shall he go astray. It's describing sin as a bondage, a form of bondage, something that actually entangles and ensnares you. And if you look at Romans, the sixth chapter, you'll see that the Apostle Paul's writing agrees perfectly with this. I'm turning to Romans 6 right now, and here we go. Yes, here we go. Chapter 6 in Romans, verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? So that's what it's saying in chapter 5, verse 22. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch hold on him. But thank God there is freedom through Jesus. His precious blood can wash away the foulest sin and make it as though it never happened. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Our sins and iniquities, he will remember no more. Thank God for his amazing grace.